As you know, over these past couple of weeks, we've been focusing on primary motivational spiritual gifts. We've been leading up to what hopefully will be culminated today in identifying what some of those gifts are that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12 in particular. And so I thank you for your attentiveness to this over these past few weeks. Of course, last week we had a little bit of a break due to our Mission Sunday. And hopefully you were blessed to be here and hear from some of the ministries that we support locally, and were able to hear from some of them to see what involvements they have in and around Seoul. And I know that they were happy to be here and have that time with us. So I know that it's been a few weeks since we began, and so just want to go through. You know, I don't use this often enough to really ever know what I'm supposed to do. So bear with me. And I do apologize. Probably should have had this going along the way, because I know I was throwing a lot of things out there and some of you are frantically trying to take those things down. But as you recall from a few weeks ago when we started talking about the unity that exists in diversity, that there is a diversity that does exist. However, God still calls us to unity, and there's a unity that can exist in that diversity. And we don't need to look any further than our own fellowship here, our own gathering together, and how unique God has crafted each of us to be, and yet how he still calls us to come together in unity. And so we took a look from 1 Corinthians 12 at some verses that identified that there was that unity and diversity. And then we went in and we talked about how the fact that all of us have been gifted. God has uniquely gifted each of us for a purpose, on purpose. And so we can see that there is a reason that God has gifted us in such a way. And then we continue to move forward and we see that spiritual gifts create two distinct problems. We looked at that. And I don't want to obviously go back to each and every point that we've covered over those first couple of weeks. But this is just a really brief recap. Anyone who's ever taken a test, you know that sometimes you come and you have that review session. So this is just a little bit of a review for us, not that there will be a test. But anyway, these are some just important things to keep us aware of some of these things that we've covered. We talked about these two distinct problems. The first one was over-evaluation. The other one was under-evaluation. Then we continue to move on, and we look at our diversity enabling us to experience this unity, bringing kind of the brass tacks to this, where our unity comes into play, and how now we take a look at what Romans 12 verse 4 says. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all parts do not have the same function, yet they're part of one body. So we can see our diversity enables us to experience the very unity that God calls us to as members of the body of Christ. This principle is two important corollary truths. We talked about this. No one individual, no matter how gifted, can do it all. No one person is responsible for the whole. We're all called to come together. Every member must do their part if the body is to be unified and if the body is to work and function as a whole. We can see that there's interdependence among followers of Christ, and I think this is about where we finished 2 weeks ago. So we got up to about this point. Romans 12:5 says, "We who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Spiritual gifts make us dependent upon each other." We come together and we see this. There is common good. There's purpose in how God has equipped us. There's purpose in how God has called us to come together in unity, and it's for the common good. It's for the edification of the body. God distributes spiritual gifts with a goal, which is to build each other up, or the church, followers of Christ, to build each other up in Christ. Dr. Ken Hempel states this: gifts are not given for our own amusement or the amazement of our friends. They are given to enable the church, followers of Jesus Christ, they're given to enable the church to accomplish its kingdom purpose. Let me read that again, because I think this is really important for us to understand. Gifts are not given for our own amusement or the amazement of our friends. They're given to enable the church to accomplish her purpose, her kingdom purpose. The Apostle Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 14:12. So also you, since you are zealous in matters of the Spirit, seek to excel in the building up of the body, the church. We can now move into point number 6. It says there are practical implications. There are practical implications to unity in the body of Christ. We are gifted to serve as co-laborers with God, enabled to do what He has asked us to do. If God has asked us to do something, yes, there is the element that there will be times He asks us to step out in faith. But when He asks us whether to step out in faith or in a gift that He has given us and we're firm in that, He's equipped us to move in that direction. He has equipped us to satisfy or fulfill that purpose and that objective. No task accomplished for the king is mundane or insignificant. We looked at this a number of weeks ago. There is no such thing as something too small. If God asks us, it's not too small. If God asks us, it's not too big, because there is nothing too small or too big for Him. No person is unimportant. Each person, as in each gift, is valuable to the kingdom work. No task is too great for the body or followers of Christ. No task is too great for this church, for Soul Union Church. If God has called us to it, if God has led us to it, if God has equipped us for it, then He will make it come to pass. Oftentimes, individuals and even churches suffer from a spiritual inferiority complex. We think, plan, and budget as if it all depends on us. But we too often forget that it really is on God. He just desires to use us. We think and we plan and we budget as if it's all ours to own. But it's really God's responsibility to work it through us. The truth is that we serve a sovereign God. He has infinite resources and the ability to use those resources in the purpose that He desires, to make them accessible to us as we join Him or partner with Him to advance His kingdom work to the ends of the earth. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11, it says this: as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. If you have a gift, which you do, and you're not using it to serve another, to serve people, then you're not using it in the appropriate way in which God has given it to you. Each of us has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Now we can stop there and we can spend some time thinking about that. We're going to move quickly through this, but I really want you to understand the significance of being in a position where God has gifted you and He's given you the opportunity to speak as if speaking the oracles of God. To move and to be in His presence as if it was His presence in you. Like Paul, Peter insists that the Spirit of God has gifted all believers with whatever they need in order to fulfill the requirement of love in this world. To fulfill the requirement of loving your neighbor, even as yourself. In order to fulfill the purpose of serving one another. We are all gifted to serve. As a result, the stewardship has been laid on us, a responsibility to act appropriately for what God has given to us. To recognize, to develop, and to employ the gifts of the Spirit in loving others in a diligent and responsible manner. All gifts come to expression in the form of love. Love, which is one of the key things that Jesus taught about. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And Love your neighbor. Love. All are but the strength of God working in and through us. All achieve their final objective when God is glorified. How? Through you and through me, as we move in the giftings that He has given. God gives His people in order that through them He will receive glory. We fulfill our calling in life when we are dutiful and obedient in serving others with the gifts that God has given to us. Although Peter is not as explicit in some of his writings as Paul is, he would say the same. Such ministry depends on the work of God's Spirit, distributing gifts, inclining our hearts, empowering each of us to serve one another. How? In love. With love. For love. God shows His very grace to His people in the way that He distributes these gifts. The way that He chooses to give them to us so that we can share them with others. For mutual love and edification, or building up one another. Since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were meant to be. Now, there's a difference when we move in this area of giftedness that God has given to us. We move there. It comes out of our being. It's not just something that we do. It comes out of our being. And I just noticed that I'm off on my slides. There it is. It comes out of who we are because of whose we are. What you are is God's gift to you. What you do with your gift is your gift to God. What are you doing with what God has given you? How are you being the person that God has made you to be? There are many references in Scripture where it talks about God's gifting and these spiritual gifts that He gives, and I've just listed some of these, but in Romans 12, you can see our main text here. Sorry. These are some of those references that you can look. If you want to write them down quickly and go later on and return to this as a study, you can do that. But you can see these verses that are listed here in 1 Corinthians, in Ephesians, and in Peter, and in Romans. And this is the main text of our focus for the next few minutes this morning. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it to the proportion to the proportion of his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. These few verses will be the main portion of the remainder of our focus. Although we can spend 1 week alone with each one of the passages that I put up prior with these verses, we're going to focus now for the next few minutes on what this text is teaching us. This will give attention to Paul's writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit to identify the following gifts: prophet, server, teacher, encourager, giver, leader, mercy. In these seven areas, each of us has a primary motivational spiritual gift. It doesn't mean that we don't move or have in another area. But there's a primary motivational spiritual gift that will be represented in one of these seven gifting areas. And we have to understand that each one, like we've talked about in weeks past, we have to understand that each of these are valuable. Just because a person has been gifted in one area, it doesn't make them more spiritual than you, better than you. They're all of equal value. Used in different ways, yes, but they're all of great value. Why? So that God can receive glory as we share His love and move in these areas of giftedness. Prophet, server, teacher, encourager, giver, leader, mercy. Each gift is as valuable as the other, and when used appropriately, will allow the body to function properly, wholly, healthily, balanced, and strong. A couple of weeks ago, I gave you the example of if I were to only use my right foot as I drive, it might not seem fair to my left leg just go along for the ride, but it's still an important part of my body. Again, the analogy that all members of our body are important. All members of this body are important. They're all of great value. Rather than focusing on another person's area of giftedness or another person's blessing, let's focus on ourselves and how God has made us to be, recognizing that we are valuable in His sight. We are valuable to the body of Christ. We will serve the body of Christ much more appropriately when we focus on what God has given to each of us individually, so that it's for the collective good, the corporate good. Then when we use that gift, the purpose God created us for is being utilized to bless God and others. In turn, we enjoy the sense of fulfillment for being who we were created to be. Let me offer a word of encouragement, because this does happen, unfortunately. Someone may see that you move in an area of giftedness and they try to convince you that you're not important or that you don't belong. This happens even today. And let me encourage you by saying, don't be surprised by that. But be encouraged that God has made you the way that He has made you for a purpose. And that your area of giftedness and how you move in that and how you share God's love and how He has hardwired you was for a purpose. And it's a purpose to advance His kingdom. Don't let anybody put you in that box. Don't let anybody send you out to pasture, because you're not like them. If we are all of one gift, if we are just one member of a body, how would the body function? How would the body be whole? How would the body be complete? I have had people try to convince me that the way that God has made me isn't right. Now, if I were weak emotionally, weak psychologically, what kind of a message do you think that would say to me? I'm not valuable, I'm not important, I'm not needed, I'm worthless. And yet some people really buy that. And they struggle with that. And it's as if they were to walk away and say, well, God doesn't love me like He loves you because He made me lesser. Don't buy that lie. Every area of giftedness and how God has created you is of great worth and value and has purpose. When we use that gift that God has given, we use it for His intended purposes, there is a sense of fulfillment for being who we were created to be. If we were to buy that expensive sports car, and I've used this as an example in the past, if we were to buy that expensive sports car but never drive it, we would never know what it was made to do. If I pulled the guitar out and used that very simple analogy again, it's the same principle. A guitar wasn't made to just sit there and be looked at. It wasn't made to just sit there so we could talk about it. The guitar was made to be played. You were made on purpose, with a purpose, to be used to share God's love in this world. We were made not just to be set up on a shelf, but we were made to live and to work and to have relationship in the valleys of life, in the day-to-day, in the mundane, in the ordinary. And yes, sometimes, fortunately, we get to experience the extraordinary. But like Oswald Chambers shares in his devotional, we weren't made for the mountaintop. We get to enjoy the mountaintop experiences, and thankfully so, but we were made to live in the valleys of life, in the day-to-day, where the rubber meets the road, in the pains of life sometimes, in those moments when some people need most someone else to encourage them and to lift them and to share God's love. If we stayed on the mountaintop alone, like Peter, James, and John, ask Jesus, let's just build this shelter and stay here. If that was God's purpose, Jesus would have said, yes, let's just build the shelter, let's just stay here, and to H-E-double-L with everybody else, in a literal sense. But that's not what he said. He said, no, we've got to go to the people. We've got to go back to where the people live. We aren't called to be set apart up on a hill, live under a shelter where it's just us four and no more. We're made to live in the everyday. And we get to enjoy the mountaintop, and yet we come back and we live in life, and we do life, and we live life with each other, sharing the love of God. What has God put in your hand? What has he equipped you with? What is it that he's calling you to? What is he intending for you to use? He has equipped you with every good work. He's given to you what you need to share his love and to build others up in his name. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build one another up. Building up those who need Christ. What are some ways that we can determine these areas of giftedness? What are some things that we can consider in trying to identify how God has gifted us? There are many more, but I just briefly share some of these. Take a look at what you are already good at, what you already know that you're good at. Take a look at what gives you a sense of joy, a sense of satisfaction, a sense of fulfillment. What are you doing when time just seems to fly by and you blink and it's like, wow, where did all the time go? I'm just so involved in this. Where have you seen fruit in your life that has been confirmed even by others, those who know you well, those who from the outside with an objective perspective say, wow, you know, you're really good at this. Where have you already been successful? Where are the proven examples that God has used you and how he's made you to be? How is it that you just take out an example, you take a step in a direction, and you just explore, you experiment perhaps, in a particular area of ministry, a particular area of service? Well, I'm not really sure, but let me just try that. Well, I'm not really sure, but you know, let me be a greeter. Let me see how that works. What's the worst that could happen? Why don't you give it a try? Being gifted in these areas, prophet, server, teacher, encourager, giver, leader, mercy, are important. And perhaps some of you can start to see how the gifts that God has put in you and some of those special, unique qualities line up with some of these. Each of us has been gifted with one primary motivational spiritual gift. Ours is to not only utilize what we have been given, but practice putting this into action by serving others. Putting this into action by serving others. By putting it into practice. Why do you think they call it the medical practice? Sometimes we ask that more than others. Right? I'm practicing law. I'm working at getting it right. I'm practicing medicine. I'm working at getting it right. I'm working at improving. How about we be practicing gift givers, users, practicing equippers, practicing exhorters, practicing servers, practicing leaders, practicing teachers, practicing prophets. And I'll come back to that because I don't want you to take that into the wrong context. How about we put these things into practice and see what God will do with those gifts that he's given us. One person embodies a balance of all of these. It's one person. Whoops. I was probably off on a whole bunch of those. One person embodies a delicate balance of all of these. And that is who we are called to follow. That is He who is the Son of God. Jesus exemplified a balance of all of these gift areas. We are not Him, but we are. Our challenge is to increase our practice in these other areas that are not our primary motivational spiritual gift. So if one is a prophet, they need to improve, because most often prophets' complementary, what we refer to as their complementary spiritual gift, would be mercy. The prophet, and this is where I want to bring some clarification to this particular gift, isn't the one that we think of in Old Testament times. It is not so much the one who says, "Thus saith the Lord." But it is the person who tends, and this is the reference I'm going to use to help illustrate this, back against the wall, rubber meets the road. This is going to be the person who sees A or B, black or white, yes or no. This is the prophet. This is the person who clearly delineates between left or right. And notice my whole posture as I do this, because that's very typical of a prophet. Because the prophet assumes everybody else sees it that way too. And they don't get it when they don't. It's yes or no. And this is my "I love you" face. Why don't you get that? A prophet has the tendency, because of how they're hardwired, to draw the sword quickly. Because you obviously don't get it. I'm going to help you get it. And I'm going to do a few slices across your face. And as you bleed, I'm quite sure you're going to get it. But this is my way of showing love. That kind of help paint a picture? Now, don't hate the prophets, because they're valuable. However, they don't typically score high in the area of mercy. Did you see mercy in any of those illustrations? Mercy, on the other hand, which is why I refer to it as the complementary gift to prophet, is the word that kind of brings a little bit of balance to the prophet. Right? A little bit of that loving, more loving, let's love a little bit more, let's not just slice and dice and let them lie there in a pool of blood. But to the prophet, they think that's what the person needs. Yeah? You just lay there until you get it. Mercy comes along and bandages their wounds when the prophet says, "No! Let them feel the sting! That's what they need to learn." Don't you get that? It's A or B. So, understanding the area of being gifted in this way, it's not limited to "thus said the Lord, the Lord says," but operates in a way where they delineate between right and wrong. They start to sense something. There's a caution in their spirit. There's something that's just not right, and they raise an alarm. They bring an awareness to something that might not just be right. There might be something else, and they start to sense that. They start to see that. They start to discern that. And a prophet, it's really hard for them to just hold that inside. A prophet is going to be the one who thinks everybody needs to know what I know, and then assume that they already know that. The mercy, on the other hand, is going to be someone who comes along with a lot of more tenderness and a lot of the more gentle approach and the more soft touch to help people along. Prophet, server, teacher, encourager, giver, leader, mercy. There's many of you that it seems like display a primary motivational spiritual gift. And I certainly do not need to exclude anyone, but I wanted to just throw something out there as an example, because even when I think about this, not that I want to pigeonhole anyone, but if I were to simply go by things that I see, things that are observable, this is some of what comes through in looking at people and their area of primary motivational spiritual gift. For example, server. And though there are many, I'll just give you an example. When I think about a server, I think about a Barry Benjamin. I think about a Lee Parsons. And I'll use the example from several weeks ago. I no more than said something about my throat being dry, but Lee was already in motion to get some water. A server is someone who looks at things and says, this needs to be done, and they're already in motion to take care of it. This is the person who, when you're at a function and somebody makes a comment that we need to pull some chairs out and we need to start setting, before you even finish, the server is the one getting up to go move the chairs. It's something that needs to be done, and I'm on it. I got it. They're moving in their motivational spiritual gift. A teacher, I think of Jack Moon. Not just, when we use this term a teacher, it's not just somebody who stands up in a classroom in a school. A teacher, someone who really understands and really looks at and really digs in, and somebody really goes beneath the surface to illustrate and to bring out and to draw out of this life that exists in the Word of God, and somebody who's going to illustrate that, and somebody who's going to put those into A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, and here it is, and I've got it lined up, and they start to articulate it in such a way, and they're using a teaching gift. An encourager. Now this one, I thought, and she operates in a number of different areas, but I thought, you know what, I think back against the wall, the rubber meets the road, Edie Moon is an exhorter. She's doing a lot of things, and she practices, and she moves in a lot of these different areas, but I think back against the wall, if you have a problem, Edie's going to be, oh, you know what, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it. Things are going to turn out all right. Right? She's going to encourage you. And I was thinking about this, and this applies to many of you, but if I'm ever down, I want Edie to come around me. Right? I want to be by Edie, because she's going to just lift you up. She's going to build you up. She's going to make you feel great. I have a pastor friend back in the United States, and he is like off the charts exhorter. He's like, you're the best, you're the greatest. And it's not that they're just blowing smoke, they're being sincere. That's an encourager, an exhorter. Someone who's just pumping you up. Someone who's making you feel good. Somebody who's picking you up if you've fallen down. And you're like, let's dust this, you know, let's wipe this dust off. You can make it. Try it again. Keep going. It's going to be okay. The giver. I want to limit this either. The giver, the easiest way to look at the giver is someone who says, but I don't want to confine it this way. Someone says, I don't know how in the world that you could go to Africa. I could never do that. But you need some money to get there? Here. Go. And you know what? That's a very important person, right? There's a lot of missionaries out there around this planet who are funded, they're supported by people who give. I can never do that, but I'm with you this way. I want to support that ministry. But it's not to be confined in a monetary schematic alone, right? It's someone who gives of their time. It's someone who gives of their energy. It's someone who gives of their talents. You know what? I'll take care of that. I'm going to do that. I'm with you. So it's not just left for money alone. The leader, the administrator. This is someone who has the gift of organization and administration. And I think about Joe Fell. I think about as the chair of our church council. I think about how he keeps things in very practical ways. And he keeps a focus on the agenda items, and he keeps a focus on where we're heading. And so I think about him bringing those into play in that way. And the Fells get honorable mention two times here this morning, because I think of Mercy, and I think of a number of people as well. One asking not to use her name, people, and so I won't. But John, I see John also operating in many different ways. But I think that if we were to open the dictionary and look at Mercy, I think John's picture would be there. I tell you what, if I'm ever like really low, I want Jonna to come around. She has this way of just embracing and just loving on you. So again, I'm not trying to exclude anyone. I just wanted to give some illustration. And I know many of you and your giftings can also be evidenced in how you live your life. But again, the gift of administration, the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to understand clearly the immediate and long-range goals of a particular unity of the body of Christ and to devise and execute effective plans for the accomplishment of those goals. A little more complex, but I hope the two of those things put together give you an idea. And as I go through this for the next couple of minutes, I want you to start thinking about how you operate. How have you moved? In what areas have you seen God use you? What are you doing when time seems to fly? What do you think it is that you're involved in when you feel most effective for God's glory? The exhorter, the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to minister words of comfort, consolation, encouragement, and counsel to other members in such a way that they feel helped and healed. The giver, the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to contribute to their material resources to the work of the Lord with liberality and cheerfulness. They give. They give of themselves. They give their time. They give their energy. They give of their resource. Mercy, the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to feel genuine empathy and compassion for individuals. Again, if you look at Donna, when she sees someone who's hurting, she just exudes that mercy. It's in her eyes. And some others of you do the same. Genuine empathy and compassion for individuals who suffer from distressing physical, mental, or emotional problems, to translate that compassion into cheerfully done deeds which reflect Christ's love and alleviate suffering. Prophet. The special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to receive and communicate an immediate message of God to his people with authority and urgency perceived by the hearers. This is sometimes referred to as a communication gift, a way to use the gift that God has given in a way to communicate the heart of God. Server, the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to identify the unmet needs involved in a task related to God's work and to make use of available resources to meet those needs and help accomplish the desired results. The teacher, the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to communicate information relevant to the health and ministry of the body and its members in such a way that others will learn. Do you find yourself in any of these seven categories? Like most, you probably say, well, I think I'm that, but I'm also that. I might be that, I might be that, but I might be that. And then there will be others who say, very clearly, I'm that. Ours is the task not only to use the primary motivational spiritual gift that God has embedded in each one of us, but also to employ the gifts in these other areas. There are times as a prophet you need to exercise mercy. There are times as a teacher that you need to exercise exhortation. There are times as a server that you also need to administer a word and give something that might be merciful. Again, these are used for God's glory. They are used with purpose, and they are used with intentional and deliberate acts, coming out of who you are so that God will be glorified and his kingdom will be expanded. As we come to the conclusion of this series, my hope has been that you've been encouraged by looking at 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Peter and Romans 12, and that you've taken a look at some of these, even from Ephesians, and you've seen how those who have penned these words for our own benefit out of inspiration of the Holy Spirit would put into us the desire to use what God has given, would encourage us to move in the way that God has equipped us. Not that we would just walk away and say, oh, that was good to hear, but we would put it into practice. Thus is the reason that we've given for these past several weeks the ministry spotlights to say, this is what's happening right now, right here. How can you be a part of it? This is the reason that we have a mini ministry fair that we can go, we can talk to the ministry team leaders and say, you know what? I think that God is leading me into this area. I believe that he's gifted me in this particular way that I can use in this particular ministry area. Why? So that the body is built up. That we edify each other. That we build each other up. And the body become whole. Because it's not up to one. It's not up to just the clergy. It's up to all of us. It's up to each and every one of us to, as Henry Blackaby refers, and I've made comment to before, to partner with God in what he's doing, where he's doing it. And you know something, unless you haven't noticed, he's doing something here at Soul Union Church. And we have the honor to be a part of that. Whether it be at Saturday Morning Joe, Hangtime, men's group, which we had yesterday, which was great. Thank you to Paul Schofield for leading our discussion. Yes, and thank you to the guys that came off of that. But whether it be at Saturday Hangtime, whether it be at a ladies' lunch, whether it be at Bible study, whether it be at the prayer time, pre-service prayer meeting, whether it be in the sermon itself, whether it be through our praise and worship ministry, whether it be through arts and worship, whether it be through missions and benevolence, whether it be through outreach and evangelism, whether it be through the media ministry, whether it be through hospitality, the greeters and the ushers at our table ministry, whatever it is that God is choosing to use, let's partner with him and touch the world for his glory, using the gifts that he has given to us to make body whole and complete. Healthy. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we come to the conclusion of this time? Move into a very sacred moment of communion where we're called to come and welcome together to the table. Lord, we thank you for your word, and I just ask simply and humbly in Jesus' name that your Spirit would seal the word in our heart, that you would call us to action. Because you've made us the way that you have, that we would operate out of what you've given to us, that we would operate out of who we are, who you've called us to be. That we wouldn't live a life that just is a bunch of do's and don'ts and a task list, but we would operate out of our very being. People that have come into relationship with the King of Kings, the living Lord. Lord, we move into a time of sincerity where we respond to your call to come to the table. And I pray that in this brief moment that we would each reflect inside of our hearts. And if there's anything that would be brought to our attention, we would make it right between ourselves and you. We would repent. We would call upon your name and ask for forgiveness. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to do a work in each of our lives, that we would be people who love. We would be people who respond to your leading. We would be people who understand that you desire to work through us so that this world would know that you alone are worthy. You alone are glorified. That your kingdom be made open to the Spirit. I'd like to ask our ushers to come forward at this time as we prepare for time of communion. Take these elements, just hold them, and we'll take them together in just a moment once everyone has been served. In the meanwhile, let's take a moment to reflect on God's goodness and on his grace and his sacrifice for each of us, ourselves, that God has poured out extravagant love in the sacrifice of his Son, the cross. God, we thank you for that love. We thank you for the work of Jesus Christ on that cross. If there's any sin that would be between ourselves and you, Lord, we repent of that. We ask that you forgive us. We desire to be whole and clean before you. Paul shares with us, "For I received the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this to remembrance of me.' Lord, we thank you for breaking your body on our behalf. But we do remember your sacrifice. Thank you for breaking yourself out of the great love for us to bring us back to the Father. Stay together." After the same manner, he also took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you that you allowed yourself to go all the way to the cross and shed your blood for us. But it was through that act of sacrifice that we are brought back into relationship with God, that our sins can be forgiven, we can be healed and made whole. We thank you for your number of sacrifice and the great life of Jesus. Let's take together. Just before I close our service in a word of prayer, I'd like to ask our ministry team leaders to go out to the reception area. They will position themselves at some tables that will be out there, and they'll ready themselves to chat with you and have a time of conversation, snacks, refreshments out there. Yet if you're visiting with us for the very first time, then we're glad that you're here. We invite you to come out, meet some people out there, let us meet you, and have some snacks with us, and have a chat with some of our ministry team leaders that will be out there and share some more information about some of the ministries in the church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence, and we thank you for your Spirit. And in Jesus' name, we commit ourselves to you. We commit this church to you, under your leadership, under your direction, under your guidance. And we ask that you would just simply lead us, that you would guide us in your way, that we would use godly wisdom as we go, as we use the gifts that you have given to each of us, as we be the people that you've called us to be, that we would share your love, that we evidenced in our words and in our deeds, that we would understand the great value that each of these gifts represents, and each one who has been given such a wonderful gift, that we would use it to glorify your name. Lord, for all who have been given such a wonderful way, for prophet, for teacher, for server, for mercy, for leader, for giver, for exhorter, Lord, I pray that you would allow us and that we would take that step to be who you've made us to be, to bring you glory.